السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, alhamdulillah, in this masjid you have many people, local, national, international, giving bayans. So whatever I am going to say, they have covered in their bayans. But the whole purpose of the revelation of the Quran Sharif is that we must repeatedly read the Quran Sharif, understand the message of the Quran Sharif, and make amal upon the message. Now this surah is not something new, it is not unknown. It is recited in the namaz by imams and by ourselves, but there is a big message in it. And strangely, since the morning I'm thinking of what to speak here today, and very strongly the taqaza, as we say, is coming to speak on this surah. So therefore I take it to mean that inshallah there is some goodness and khair in it for myself or for the audience. Without going into any detailed explanation of this surah, there is no time to go into any tafsir. However, the important points, without giving the exact translation, just giving an explanation. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us the description of those horses which take part in jihad or in any other battle. In those days, just as we have in our times the missiles and the helicopters and the gunships and everything else, the greatest asset of the people when it came to war and battle and jihad was horses. They knew the pedigrees of the horses, they knew all the qualities of the horses, and they really looked after and nursed their horses. And it was as if the person is really well prepared if he has got a large number of horses when it comes to battle and jihad. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us a very, very beautiful scene and very beautiful description, just picture, that there are horses that are running. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. When the horses are running and galloping, then at that time there is the sound of heavy breathing, or what we will call snorting. They are panting. So the horses, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes a qasam in the name of those horses. Allah Ta'ala can take qasam in the name of anything. But we, as the creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, only if it is necessary, only if it is important to convince the person, then we are allowed to take qasam in the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Recently what has happened is qasams has become a big joke. For every little thing the person says, bring the Quran Sharif, take qasam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes qasam in the name of these horses because he wants to give a message to us. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that whilst they are running and galloping, then the hooves of these horses striking the ground and striking the stones. So what happens is that sparks are flying. So horses are galloping, they're breathing heavily, they're panting, sparks are flying. I discussed this in our masjid, and I will repeat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving this description that now the hooves that are striking the stones and ground, so sparks are flying. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا. And then what happens is that these Arabs in those times, to show their bravery, to show that they were not cowards, instead of striking late at night, which anybody else would do, so they struck during the morning hours to show that how brave they were and courageous they were, that they were inviting the people to come and fight without any fear of any kind. They will be noticed fully in the morning, in the daylight, but they were not afraid of that. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ السُّبْحَ فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَ. So now again use our imagination. Now those horses are moving at a very, very fast pace. They are snorting. They are perspiring. The hooves are raising sparks. And now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that also what is happening is that they are raising the dust as they are moving now. In the dust is being raised. Trail of dust. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَ فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعَ. And then they strike right in the midst, they penetrate into the midst of the enemy's forces. There is no fear of any kind that they seem to have. These horses have got no fear. They just go into the battlefield. They are not scared to give their lives. They are not afraid that they will be destroyed, or somebody could strike a sword on their necks, or all the hardships and difficulties they would suffer. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives a description of all this. And thereafter says, Innal insana li rabbihi lakanud. Now that is the jawab of the qasam. Innal insana li rabbihi lakanud. Verily man is most ungrateful to his Lord. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, after giving all this description, he says, verily man is most ungrateful to his Rabb, to his Lord. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who provided the fodder. Do we grow the grass with our qudrat and our power? After the seeds are planted, do we have any control over it? Our aqal tells us that if a person is dead, then you must bury him in the ground and he will turn to dust. And here we take those seeds and we plant into the ground, and thereafter we pour more sand over it, and then it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qudrat that it grows. So that fodder also we did not grow from the ground. The fodder also was given by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is the one who caused it to grow. That little fodder that we take and feed those horses become so loyal, that irrespective of what happens, even if the horse's life is in danger, but the horse is prepared to go into the midst of the battlefield just on the ishara and on the sign of that owner and the master. That is the loyalty of those horses which are used in jihad and in battlefields, that just because of that little fodder that the person has given, this horse is ready to give its life. So the message in there is that this insan, this human being, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has not given him just fodder, not just grass. Look at Allah ta'ala's ihsan upon his creation, which is man, that Allah ta'ala gives us the rain, gives us the sun, the moon, the stars, the waters of the ocean to sail our ships and bring our cargo and transport our passengers. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave aqal, man made aeroplanes. What man has made. Look at the technology that man has come out with. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him aqal so that his life may become easy, so that his life may become a bit more comfortable. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then provides for him food, clothing, shelter, different kinds of shelter, different kinds of food. The ocean, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives so much of fish and makes everything halal. All the fish of the sea is halal. So much of fruit that we eat, practically all fruit is halal. In the same way, vegetable halal, this halal, that halal. So much Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives, and then all Allah ta'ala requests is that make my ibadat, worship me, obey me, don't be disloyal, don't be unfaithful, don't betray the trust. Fulfill the terms of the amanat and the pledge that you have made. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself says, Innal insan li rabbihi lakanud. Is the most, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, very, very ungrateful. This insan has become very ungrateful. Lakanud. Now what is this lakanud? Kanud, it is mentioned by Hazrat Abu Bakr Wasiti rahmatullah alayh. First of all, of course, Hazrat Khaja Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh. He says that kanud, which is used in this ayat, by that is implied that this man, he is one who does not recognize those ni'mats as being from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That he does not recognize this ni'mat as being from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He always remembers all the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering. But he doesn't remember the ni'mats that have also come from that same Allah ta'ala who is sending some kind of difficulty, hardship, test and trial. The Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam were tested. The Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tested the most. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's test. Thereafter, if you look at the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, look at all the different kinds of tests and trials that they went through. So the person, he forgets the little bit of, or he always remembers that little bit of hardship and difficulty that comes in his life. And sometimes they even say that, why is Allah ta'ala not listening to my du'as? Why is Allah ta'ala causing this to happen to me and my family? Why are all these difficulties and hardships coming upon me? Now the person even rejects Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala at times. So therefore he says that the person remembers the difficulties that are coming towards him, which are very little, but he's not focusing on all those ni'mats and all those bounties which Allah ta'ala has blessed him with. Whereas if we have to look at the bounties, they are unlimited bounties that Allah ta'ala gives to us. If a person loses his one leg, he's still got another leg. If he loses his one arm, he's still got another hand. If he loses his one eye, he's still got another eye. If he loses his both eyes, he's still got his hands and feet. If the person loses both feet, he's still got heart, liver and lungs all functioning. Where are we going to put a stop? There is nothing but ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But we will always focus only on that difficulty that has come. And we will not look at those ni'mats and bounties which Allah ta'ala has still blessed us with. And we will not look at where our weakness is and where our shortcoming is and where our fault is. Sometimes these difficulties and hardships are to elevate the position of the person. Sometimes it is to give the person something better in return. Sometimes Allah ta'ala wants him to reach a certain stage and he will not be able to do so because of his weakness of physical strength and health or wealth. So Allah ta'ala causes him to suffer some kind of pain and suffering in his body or some other form, and then Allah ta'ala raises him to that status. So therefore there is no loss for that person as long as he is obedient to Allah ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala describes these horses, that look at what kind of sacrifice they are prepared to make just because of that little fodder that man gives to these horses. And here human beings, Allah ta'ala gives so much, but they are not prepared to even be obedient to Allah ta'ala after all those ni'mats and bounties. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Wasiti Rahmatullah, he says that what it means here, lakanud, he says here it means, kanud means that this person, he does not use these ni'mats in the obedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He does not use the ni'mats and bounties in the obedience of Allah ta'ala. He uses it in disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The person, instead of using those ni'mats in obedience of Allah ta'ala, he uses it in his disobedience. He uses it in masiyat, in sins. So Allah ta'ala is giving us a message that look at these horses, because of that little fodder, how they are ready to sacrifice even their lives. And just on the ishara and on the sign. And here Allah ta'ala is giving us so much, and thereafter requesting us to do a little bit of ibadat, some zikr, some tilawat, to do some service to mankind, to be good, to be pious, to be righteous, to be charitable, to be honest, to be truthful. And in everything there's nothing but khair. It's not that we have to do a lot of things, it's most of the things we don't have to do. A person must not speak lies. He must not go to the gambling den. He must not commit adultery. He must not commit fornication. He must not watch the porn sites. Now, are these things that he has to do or he doesn't have to do? Now, all these things he doesn't have to do. Making namaz and a few other things he has to do. But yet, we will be ungrateful to that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We will use those ni'mats and those bounties in his disobedience as if there is no day of judgment that is to come. Therefore, immediately after that, Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ وَإِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. And it's not that this person does not know what he is doing. It's not that he is unaware. Allah ta'ala is telling us that he is well aware of it. He is a witness himself. Which person is not a witness to his own deeds and actions? Is there any person that's not a witness to his own deeds and actions? We can say that the person did not see Mr. Musa, Mr. Isa, Mr. Yunus, Mr. so and so. He didn't see him doing certain things. But is he not a witness to his own actions? Every person is a witness to his own actions. Whatever I do, I know what I am doing. In the privacy of my home, in the darkness of the night, in the brightness of the day, whether it is in the hotel room, or whether it is on journey, or whether while I am muqeem, wherever I may be, so much so that even if the person is in the Haramain Sharifain, wherever he may be, he is a witness himself to all his deeds and actions. He knows fully well that this is what I have done. Unless, of course, the person was mad, then of course it's waved off. He is not going to be questioned. So either we say that, no, I am mad. Now, does anybody like to be called mad? So therefore, nobody wants to be called mad. So he is a witness to his own action. So the person is either committing the sin or he is doing the good deed, knowing fully well what he is doing. Or he is doing it in the dream, so the dream also is maaf, there is no question. But whilst we are alive and we are intelligent enough to understand, so then each and every one of us, we know what our deeds and actions are. Therefore, when Allah Wala said that if on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala only has to say that I am not going to punish you and send you to the fire of Jahannam, but what I am going to do is that your life, the 60 years, 50 years, 80 years that you spent in this world, I will call all your family members, your friends, your society, your musallis, your muqtadis, and everyone who used to regard you as pious and righteous because they used to see you in the masjid, or they used to see you in dini activities, or they used to see you sometimes in a khanqah, or sometimes in the tabligh jamaat, and everybody thought that you were very pious and righteous. So whoever it is, whether the person was involved in dini activities or not, Allah Ta'ala has to merely say that I will play the film of your 80 years of life in front of your wife, your child, your son, your daughter, your mother, your father, your family members, and everybody respectable in society, and in front of your Nabi, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in front of the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu majma'in. That's all. No Jahannam for you, just the film, we will play it and show what you have done. Will any person be prepared to accept that? The person will say, Ya Allah, rather send me to Jahannam. But don't embarrass me in front of all these people. I will not be able to take it if all these people have to see what dandas are we engaged in. Who are we hiding from? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. Our cheating, our deceiving, our lies, our untruthfulness, anything that we are doing, if we are not sincere in the heart also, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows about it. The thoughts that cross our mind, Allah Ta'ala is aware of it. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is well aware. So therefore he says that we are not going to be able to deceive Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Ta'ala has to say that this is what I will do, no, nobody will accept it. Therefore Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, he used to one whole night in the Haram Sharif. Whole night at the Multazam, he was reciting all the time, Ey Khuda I Bandara Ruswa Makun Garbadam Man Sirre Man Peda Makun, Ey Khuda I Bandara Ruswa Makun Garbadam Man Sirre Man Peda Makun. He should say, Oh Allah, don't embarrass this servant of yours. Don't cause any kind of embarrassment, humiliation and disgrace. Now these were very pious people. And this is what he is saying. Don't allow any kind of embarrassment and shame and disgrace to come upon me on the day of Qiyamah or even in this world. I know that I have committed a lot of sins. They used to call it sins. They used to do so much of ibadah, zikr, tilawat, service to mankind, poor, needy, destitute. And still they used to consider themselves as the most sinful one on the surface of the earth. And we hardly do anything and we consider ourselves to be the most pious ones on the surface of the earth. So he said, don't allow any kind of embarrassment to come. Agarche, although I know that I am a sinful one, but don't cause any kind of embarrassment. Don't expose my weaknesses and sins. So therefore he says that lakanud, here it really means this, that this person, he forgets the ni'mats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, engages in sins, and Allah Ta'ala says after that he himself is a witness over this. Therefore, Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah alayh, when somebody asked him that why our du'as are not accepted, so he mentioned quite a few things. The first thing that he mentioned there is that you have displeased Allah Ta'ala and you are making no effort to please him. How do you expect the du'as to be accepted? We know millions of people are making Hajj every year, millions of people. Take over the years that have gone by, how many millions of people have made Hajj? But then take the life of each and every Haji, including myself, and then see namaz, roza, zakat, Hajj, honesty in business, truthfulness, sincerity, charity, nobility, piety, taqwa, shukr, sabr, zuhd, qanaat. Now all these sifat and qualities and attributes which should have come into a Haji sahab after crying at the plains of Arafat over and over. Do these sifat and do these qualities come in? Or sometimes it is the greed is even increased even more. Therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that this love, wa innahu lihubbil khayri lashadeed, that the love is very, very intense and violent for this dunya. Dunya is not the name of gold, silver. Dunya is not the name of oil wells. Dunya is not the name of buildings. Dunya is not the name of a good home. Dunya is not the name of good beds and mattresses. Dunya is not the name of a good car. Dunya is when these things divert us from the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. Therefore I mentioned on many occasions that the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, when they were in the business houses, at that time also their sifat was that their hearts were in the masjid. So somebody said that how can their hearts be in the masjid whilst they were in the bazaars? I said, so simple to understand, just as our hearts are in the bazaars whilst we are in the masjid. We are in the masjid, but our hearts are in the football ground, cricket ground. What's the latest score there? We just had to come for Jummah namaz, but there could have been some test match. So what's the score there? Our heart is at home. Our heart is in the nikah and walima that will take place. So these people, even in the business houses, they were conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's presence. They never engaged in any kind of transaction that was haram. They were always conscious of the fact. Therefore, they were coming out from one ibadat into another ibadat. When they entered into namaz, their concentration was not affected. Because whilst they were in the business also, they were fully conscious that my Allah is watching every move and every action and every deed of mine. So it was easy for them to get into namaz. So it is not the wealth, it is how the person acquires it, how the person uses it, and it must not reach the stage of greed. That once greed comes into the heart, then the person is unconcerned after that, that who gets crushed in the path, who gets smashed in the way, and which widows are bashed on the line, and what is happening to the poor and the needy and the destitute. The person in his greed for wealth, he may have millions, but he has no concern after that for what is happening to those who cannot afford, for those who are weak. For sometimes the person after that in the greed doesn't even have time to go and see his wife in the hospital. He doesn't have time to see his parents in the hospital. The person doesn't have time to take care of anything else. The only thing is nothing but an obsession with it. So this obsession is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is stopping us from. If it doesn't divert us from the remembrance of Allah, then that wealth is a very good thing. It is something which Allah ta'ala's beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to as ni'mal mal, very good wealth, if it is in the hands of a good person. We need that wealth for masajid, madaris, we need it for Hajj, Umrahs, we need it for the poor, the destitute. Look at in Haiti now, what kind of destruction and disaster has taken place. It really, really pains the heart, irrespective of who they may be, Muslims or non-Muslims. But there are lessons to be taken from there. It is our duty to help and assist, irrespective of who they may be. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala only knows why He sends down these disasters. But it is a lesson for mankind. That everything is in the power of Allah Ta'ala. His qudrat is unlimited. If we are going to remain disobedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, even in our country, so then we must prepare ourselves. But we must not say that because they were non-Muslims, now they suffered destruction, so what must we do? We mustn't worry about it. Nothing. It hasn't said in Islam that you mustn't take care of the poor and needy if they are not Muslims. But what I am getting across to you is that wealth is a good thing. But if it is in the hands of a good person, it must not reach the state of obsession and greed. Therefore Allah Ta'ala concludes, and therefore I also will conclude with very, very brief explanation of the remaining two ayats. And that is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is reminding us that there is a day of judgment. Everyone that is going in the grave, it's not that he has turned to dust and that's the end of life. His life continues. The qabr is also like a waiting room, like the lounge that we have at the airports. Now some people sit in first class lounge, some people sit in economy class, and some people business class, and some people even lie down on the ground, and some people sometimes it's so crowded, they haven't even got a place to lie down because all the flights have been cancelled because of heavy snowfall. So in the same way, the qabr is like a waiting room and a lounge. Somebody will be given a first class lounge because of his good deeds and actions. Somebody will be given a business class lounge, and somebody will have to suffer the consequences of his doings there. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that all that will be exposed, there will be a resurrection. Every person will have to answer for his doings and for his actions. Even that which was in the hearts will be known to everybody, it will be made known. If a person was insincere in his muhabbat, there was nothing but hypocrisy in his muhabbat, even that will be exposed in front of everybody on the day of Qiyamah. If the person made amal for the sake of riya and show business, there was nothing in it except show business, that I did this and I did that and I did that, then that show business will be exposed in front of everybody on the day of Qiyamah. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, we know that he was the greatest wali. At that time, he said himself that my feet is on the throat and necks of the awliya of the time. But look at the khawf and fear that they had. At the Multazam again, he's saying, oh Allah, if you have to punish me on the day of Qiyamah, then raise me up blind so that my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the people do not see me and I do not get embarrassed in front of them. This was their khawf and fear, although they were not committing any kinds of sins. So the lessons that we take, that these horses which we have given just a little bit of fodder, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that see in jihad how they are prepared to give their lives and sacrifice just on the ishara and sign of the master and the owner. And here Allah Ta'ala has given us so much, and then he asks us to do just a few things, and we there too we become so negligent. Maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi, tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chudane ko nahi, juz amal qabr mein koi bhi tera yaar nahi, kya qiyamat hai ke isse tu khabardar nahi. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you and the Ummah at large the tawfiq to understand these verses of the Quran Sharif, these ayat, these surahs, and then implement it in our lives so that we become the recipients of Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats and bounties in this world and in the akhirah. May Allah remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of mankind around the globe, and especially the Ummah of Nabiyyah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah accept all the works of Deen wa Akhira Da'wan and Alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.